رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، شفيع المذنبين، رحمة للعالمين، مولانا وسيدنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين الهداة المهديين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرض، أرواحنا له الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين، من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين علي بن أبي طالب، والله لو أعطيت الأقاليم السبعة بما تحت أفلاكها على أن أعصي الله في نملة أسلبها جلب شعيرة ما فعلته، وإن دنياكم عندي لأهون من ورقة في فم جرادة تقضمها، ما لعلي وللنعيم يفنى ولذة لا تبقى. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, salamu alaykum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The plan that we were following was that we would devote two lectures to the subject of justice, but because of the interest in the other subjects, we have made the two lectures into one. So we are going to go through the subject in this one lecture. And as this is the fourth time I've been here, again, I'm observing, I'm speaking to people, I'm getting a lot of feedback regarding community matters. We've already spoken about some of the problems which affect your community and your society, such as the problem of the scholars and how much freedom they are given and how they are treated. That is one of the issues. Another one which we have not yet really touched upon in depth are the multiple groupings of the community here, which really I can see it's breaking the unity of the community. It's creating a lot of discord, a lot of bad feeling, and a lot of mistrust amongst community members. And the third one is the sad situation and the plight of community leadership. A little bit of a taboo subject, I know, but not really for me. This is something which is affecting the community all over, and really the situation is quite sad. Tonight, the subject that we have taken is justice in the religion of Islam. This one perhaps will apply to every one of us, but more so, I think, once we finish the discourse, you might think that this applies more to the leadership and the sad plight and the sad situation of community leadership. How, for example, these leaders are where they are, what they do when they get there, and what impacts this has upon the community, because the community ultimately suffers. Also, looking at the state of world politics, look at what's happening in the UK, in the US, other places throughout the world. You'll see some leaders there, really, it's staggering. How have they come into these positions? But somehow it has happened. So we will look at the concept of justice as a concept from the point of view of society, from lessons from the life of the first Imam, and crucially, we will discuss what qualities are needed for someone to have this quality of justice in himself or herself. First of all, let me ask you a question. Is there any virtue in Islam that is undisputed? Meaning that wherever you display this virtue, it is correct. Is there any virtue like this?
Truth,
someone said truth.
Vahdaniyat.
Honesty. Wahdaniyat is not really a value. Wahdaniyat is like a belief. Truth, honesty. So let's think about this truth and honesty, which one of the brothers has suggested as the answer to this question. Truth and honesty. What if by saying the truth, you put another person's life in danger? Masalan, you are fighting, inshallah, for Imam Zamana, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif. The enemy captures you and tells you, tell me where your other soldiers are from your army, and you say, I don't know, sorry. That might be a lie, but in that situation you may have to. So there to tell the truth will not be wise. What else?
Justice.
This is the only, justice. I'll come on to fairness in a minute. There's a slight, very subtle but very nice difference between what we call adalat and insaf. In our languages, Gujarati, Urdu, Hindi, we use these interchangeably. We understand them to mean the same thing. Adalat and insaf, usually we translate both of these words as justice. But you'll see, in Islam we have a difference between these two. So you look at all of the values of Islam, you'll see that none of them are 100% undisputable except for justice. Truth we've discussed. What about mercy? How can mercy be misused? Well, what if there is someone doing something wrong and mercy gives them the license or gives them the encouragement to do more wrong? There are some places in Islam where we are told, do not show mercy here, because you have, for example, an oppressor. You can't be merciful on an oppressor. Imagine an oppressor like the accursed Saddam. Would you show him mercy? Everyone would say this is stupid. To show that kind of person mercy is stupid. But justice. Justice is undisputable. Wherever you use justice, you'll say, yes, it's correct. Now, there may be times when you say, well, mercy would have been better than justice in such a situation. But it doesn't mean justice was wrong. Justice is always correct. When you administer justice properly, it is always correct. So justice occupies a very special position in the Islamic ethical and virtue system. What is justice? Here we need to just define it properly before we go any further with Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. When we say justice in English, we often think that it is a matter of punishing someone, punishing a criminal, going to court, seeking a judgment of a judge, seeking a legal ruling. This is often the picture we have in mind when we say the word justice in English. However, in Islam it is not that. What is it in Islam? Could anyone summarize it in a word or two or a phrase? In Islam, what is justice? Putting something in its right place. Not in our context. Maybe that's the dictionary definition if you go to the word in its origins. But I'm talking about in the system of Islamic virtues and ethics. Yeah, insaf. You're giving me like a thesaurus, you're giving me synonyms. To be against the zalim and to be for the mazloom. In Islam, justice is not about court, a judge, a lawyer, a policeman. In Islam, simply remember this phrase, justice starts from within. It's a unique concept. No other religion will say these things. Justice in Islam starts from within. It's a matter of righteousness, actually. In Islam, justice is a matter of righteousness. A person can be unjust. Even if he's living in the middle of a jungle or a desert alone and there's no one around him, there's no one he can possibly be unjust to. It doesn't matter. He could be unjust to himself. So justice is a matter of righteousness that starts from within. Look at what the Quran says. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the boundaries of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us number of boundaries, number of restrictions. Sometimes it sits, sometimes it doesn't sit. If it doesn't sit, sorry, Allah says you must submit. These are the boundaries of God. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever transgresses the boundaries of God has done zulm upon himself. So a person may be zalim without anyone around him, just he or she in themselves could be doing zulm on themselves. This is why in Dua-e Kumail, what do we say? Amir al-Mu'mineen teaches us, O Allah, zalamtu nafsi, I have done zulm upon myself. It's very strange. In Islam, we believe, if I am doing zulm to you, before the zulm is done to you, I have done zulm upon myself. If one person does zulm upon another, we often see zalim and mazloom. We don't understand. Actually, the zalim is the mazloom himself, because he's doing zulm upon himself. He's distancing himself from God in the very niyat that he has, that I'm going to do zulm upon someone. It's a very tricky situation, but it's a very interesting one. This is why we're going to look at this in more depth. So justice starts from within, the person, him or herself. Then, families. We have a lot of injustices happening in families, behind closed doors. Maybe people know, maybe they don't know. In our community, in our culture, what do we generally do? We turn a blind eye. We say, let them deal with it themselves, we can't get involved. But this is wrong. This is not the way a society should be. Leaders are doing injustices left, right and center. I'm talking about our community political leaders. They are engaging in injustices left, right and center. We don't want to get involved. Justice starts from within. Generally speaking, if someone is good with me and you, if they're okay with us, they treat us well, they're nice to us, they speak sweetly to us, we say he's a nice guy. What he does at home, we don't want to know, we don't care. This is usually how our community treats these things. On the next level, what about our own enemies? What about the enemies of Islam? What does Quran say about that? Quran says, injustice, zulm, is not permitted even upon the enemies of God, enemies of Ahlul Bayt, enemies of Islam. Injustice is not permitted. You are not allowed to do injustice at any time to anyone. That doesn't mean that you don't punish those who deserve punishment, but you cannot go beyond the realms of just punishment. Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Please look up this verse later on and reflect on it. It's a fundamentally thought-provoking, amazing verse. Surah number 5, verse number 8. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwameena lillah shuhada'a bilqist. O you who have faith, be maintainers of justice as witnesses for the sake of Allah. Wala yajrimannakum. Listen to this part. Ill feeling for a particular type of people should never lead you to be unfair. whether it's within Islam, different mazhabs, by all means, we stand our ground. We are confident in what we believe. We will never back down. I'm not talking about compromise here. Please don't get me wrong. I know there's a tendency that every word is analyzed and reanalyzed and then jumped upon. But please, give me some leeway and give me your utmost attention. When we say zulm is not allowed, what I mean to say is we cannot go beyond the boundaries. We stand our ground. We are who we are. We are lovers of Ali Muhammad. We are lovers of Imam Ali. We are, inshallah, soldiers of Imam Zamana. We are azadar of Imam. There's no compromise there. But when we look at other sects, religions, we cannot go beyond the boundaries of justice. Now, within the community, we have groupings. You know them more than I know them. There are like 4 or 5 nicknames for each group, according to my understanding. Here, are we going beyond the bounds? Are we stepping beyond the boundaries? Are we doing things which we should not be doing with these other groups simply because we have differences of opinion? وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا. Quran says, be just, هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. This is closer to God-fearing and taqwa. Let's go one step further. We've dealt with individual, we've dealt with family, we've dealt with enemies. What about animals and insects? Insects. Is injustice allowed there? Not even to an insect. The great scholar of Islam, Imam Khomeini, about him they say that in his days when he was staying in the madrasa, the hot days, and there were mosquitoes in his room, he would not kill them. He would take great effort and great pain to leave the door open with all that heat coming in. Believe me, I've been in Qom over the summertime. I know how hot it can get. But he would usher them out. He would not even kill the insects. You are not allowed to needlessly kill animals and insects. Yes, if an animal or insect poses you danger, or is very troublesome, or is bringing dirt and disease, of course, there we have an excuse. But needlessly, no, we're not allowed. Look at what Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says. Wallahi law u'titul aqalim as-sab'a bima tahta aflakiha. I don't know anyone who has said something about justice more eloquent than this. He says, I swear by God, even if I am given the domains of the 7 continents, meaning the whole world, and everything that exists under the skies, that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching 1 grain of barley from the mouth of an ant, I would not do it. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, you give me the whole world, everything in it, everything under the sky, and you tell me, take the grain of morsel of food, of barley, from the mouth of an ant, I would not do it. So what is he trying to say here? He's trying to say that no matter how much you get, no matter how much your benefit is, and no matter how small the zulm is, it doesn't justify. No amount of reward justifies any amount of zulm. Now, we cannot ever be caring about what we can gain, nor what small zulm we are doing. Any zulm is not allowed. How to get this level of justice in the community? How to get ourselves individually accustomed to living like this? How can we dissolve or unify? Let me say unify our community. How can we remove some of these rumors and titles and names and abuses that we are giving one another. Here I'm talking about our own Shia community. I'm not saying outside. I'm talking about us, our house, getting our house in order. How can we do this? What are the ways? I want to present four to you, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The first is, according to the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen, get rid of the love of this world. Whilst you have any love of this world, whilst you have hubbe dunya inside you, you will not be able to keep away 100% from injustice. Because sooner or later, you will find something that will be so tempting that you will perform injustice. You'll say, it's okay. For this thing that I love, for this amount of money, or this amount of power, or this amount of reputation, I'm willing to do that. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, take this out completely. Take out all remnants of hubbe dunya. He says, وَلَا أَلْفَيْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ أَزْهَدْ عِنْدِي مِنْ أَفْتَةِ أَنْزِ. Look at the example he gives, it's just amazing. He says, you would have seen, talking about when he took the Khilafat. Someone, you know, he was talking about why did he take the Khilafat after the death of Usman, assassination of Usman. He was saying, I don't have any desire for this. The crowd was too much. And they were all telling me to take it. So I had to take it because I have to answer to Allah. Allah would have asked him that everyone was telling you to take it. It was a good opportunity. I had to take it. Otherwise, and here is what I want to quote, otherwise you would have seen this world of yours is more worthless to me than the sneeze of a goat. Very interesting example. Sneeze of a goat, worthless, dirty, little bit disgusting, little bit, you feel a bit, you know, awkward. He said, this world is worth less than that. Number one. Number two, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you, bottom line, over everything, I've had so many conversations recently, and God bless brothers and sisters who have contacted me, we've spoken about different things. I want to tell you something, bottom line, if khawfe khuda, khawfe ilahi, fear of God is not in someone, what can you do? At the end of the day, we can give so many hadith and Quran and this and that. We can say things in different angles, in different way. But if an individual doesn't have fear of God, doesn't care about any reprisal, not bothered about the Day of Judgment, you can't do much. It's that individual that has to come up with these things in themselves. Secondly is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Look what he says here. This is all from Nahjul Balagha that I'm quoting. Performing justice upon someone. How can I oppress anyone when I have a life that is fast moving towards destruction and will remain under earth for a very long time? Maybe we don't think of death that much. We have too much time for these rows and these labels and these spreading of rumors and putting up different titles of different groups, and we war with one another, and the WhatsApps are flying, and our whole energy and mind goes into these things. Just think, what are you losing? How much time are you wasting in these petty issues? Number four, very, very importantly, leadership. Leadership of the community must be chosen very carefully. It could be that some people in the beginning will have to face a lot of challenges and problems. It could be that some people will have to give a lot of sacrifice. But leadership of the community is of paramount importance. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. that leaders of the community have a much higher and a much more closely watched role than average people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying as average people, as non-leaders, we can do what we want. No. But leaders have an extra level of responsibility. They have to be even more careful. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, وَأَعْجَبُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, after talking about his brother Aqil, he says, even stranger than this incident with my brother, that a man came to me in the middle of the night with a flask, a thermos of honey paste. Honey paste was one of those delicacies, very valuable and very much valued in those times, very well regarded. But I disliked it as though it was the saliva of a serpent or its vomit. I asked him, is this a gift? Is it zakat? Is it charity? These are forbidden to us, the Prophet's family. He said, no, 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 nothing. It is a present for you. I said to him, may childless women weep over you. Have you come to deviate me from the religion of God? Are you mad? Or have you been overpowered by some jinn? Or are you speaking without your senses? If a leader is susceptible to moves of power and greed and materialism and money and these things, again, it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem. Then the community will suffer, as it is suffering. Then it's difficult to then come to real solutions and real conclusions. If things are just passed around family members, if it's all about power and name and money and fame, then we are in some trouble. We must be cognizant of this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now let's shift the focus. So far we have discussed adalat, justice. Now we are going to discuss insaf. Insaf, like I said, it's not exactly the same as justice. It's a little bit different. In our languages, we interchange insaf and adalat. Justice, we can say insaf. Justice, we can say adalat. But in Arabic, no. In Arabic terminology, these two are different. Justice is adalat, but insaf, we will say, is fairness. Fairness. Now, what do we mean by this? First of all, a couple of hadith regarding insaf. Number one, Mawla-i Kainat, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. He says, fairness brings hearts together. Remember, we are trying to talk about how to reunite, get the community back together, avoid groupings and factions. Number one, fairness brings hearts together. Number two, not only does it bring hearts together, same imam, first imam says, fairness makes relationships continue long term. So number one, it has the power to bring together. Number two, it has the power to sustain. Now, in leadership, fairness. Again, the same imam, the king of justice, our king, the majesty of all majesties, Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He said, when it comes to leaders, it's even more important. Why? Because the zakat of power is fairness. Everything in Islam has a zakat. What is zakat? Tax. Another meaning of zakat? Price. Another meaning? Purify. There are two meanings of zakat. One is used as a tax, yes. Another meaning is that it's used as a purification. So, when Allah gives you something, there's always a tax to pay. There's always a zakat to pay. Here I'm not talking about money and I'm not talking about crops and coins and animals. I'm not talking about that. Anything that Allah gives, He is expecting something in return. He gives power, He wants fairness. He gives knowledge, zakatul ilm nashruhu. Why do scholars come and give their speeches and give knowledge? Well, it's a zakat of ilm. The zakat of knowledge is to spread it. What about zakat of reputation? You have a good reputation, mashallah. I don't have a job. You have a good reputation in society. You know three or four people with big, big businesses, big companies, nice places to work. Well, your duty is go and tell him, I have a friend, he needs a job. Do you have an opening? I can give a reference for him. I can recommend him. What about zakat of the body? Allah has given us bodies, healthy, we are functioning, we are working. What is the zakat? Fasting. That is the zakat of a healthy body. And on and on and on. We have many different categories of zakat. Zakat of power is fairness. Now, if you have a leader, it could be a leader of any institution, it could be a leader of any of these groups that we have within society. A leader who is not fair. Again, these are problems. This needs to be addressed. Amr bil ma'roof needs to be done. They may be taken aside. They may have to contemplate and reflect upon their conduct. The ills of society will not get any better unless we have this adalat and fairness in society. Going on one step further. Okay, I'm ready. I will do insaf, no problem. I will do adalat. But the other group is not doing adalat with me. So why should I? What does Islam say about this? Islam says, again, Mawlai Kainat Imam Ali alayhi salam. A mu'min observes fairness with respect to those who are not fair with him. It doesn't matter here. See, there's a cycle, there's a vicious cycle going on. They say this, we'll say that. They do this, we'll do that. No. Be fair. Be fair. Even with those who are not fair with you, break the cycle. Now, what is insaf? This is where I wanted to come to. So now you've understood the general picture, the general concept that Islam is trying to promote. How do we actually deal with insaf? This is the most beautiful concept. If we can understand this as a community, if we can understand this as an individual, each and every person, then I think we can get somewhere. And I think things can change. What is insaf? Insaf comes from the Arabic word nisf. Insaf comes from nisf. What is nisf? Half, 50%, half. Nisf means half. So now, what Islam says about insaf, you just look at the way, the depth of Islam. What Islam says about insaf is, there's an issue. This issue either involves you, or someone from your side. Okay? What is the tendency of a human when an issue or a dispute or a disagreement arises concerning him or his side? What is the tendency we tend to do? Exactly. A tendency is you take your own side. That is the immediate human reaction in any disagreement. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be, but that is generally what happens. So at home, I have a disagreement with my wife. Whose side will I take? Mine. But outside, my wife has a disagreement with another woman. Whose side will I take? My wife's. Otherwise, I'm in big, big trouble. But you get the picture. At home, my son is eating my head. Whose side am I taking? Mine and my head. Outside, my son and another boy, they have a disagreement. Whose side will I take? My son's. Your group in the community has a disagreement with another group. You'll tend to take the side of your group. Is that fair? Is it okay? Should we side with our loved ones? Should we side with ourselves? Should we or should we not? What do you say? Say it loudly, please. No bias. No bias. Bias should not be there. In insaf, we don't have this concept of bias. Bias and insaf, they don't go together. So, what did I say? Insaf comes from nisf, half. Now, what should happen? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There are two sides. One is yours or you, and one is another. Insaf says, you take yourself out of the emotions of the situation, take yourself out of the heat of the situation, and you put yourself 50-50. And now you observe. You say, what's happening there? What's happening there? Objective. As much as possible, as far as you can, you perform insaf. That means you go half. And then you try to come to a conclusion. Could be that you stand at halfway and you see actually 60% is here and 40 is there. 70 is here, 30 is there. 80 is there, 20 is there, whatever. It could be that you can come to a conclusion. But the process has to be that you remove yourself from the initial human reaction of favoring you and yours. We are not doing that at the moment. We're not doing that at the moment. We're not. We are siding. My group did this. Okay, fine. It's the right one. There are opposition. They said something immediately. Don't even think about it. Don't even listen to it. We have to oppose. Because they are them and we are we. I'm talking inside community. I'm not talking about other sects. Don't get me wrong. This thing happened because it was my sister, my dad, my son, my cousin. I will stand up and I will say, no, my side is correct. This has to stop. This cannot go on. This is not a society based on justice and fairness. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, let's say you are in a position where someone is asking you to help in a situation. Your son or daughter has an issue with another girl or boy. Now you have come there. Generally, we don't like to be in that situation. And generally, it's very dicey. It's very, very dicey and tricky to judge in situations. So we don't like to be in this situation. But let's say if we do get to be in this situation. Someone has either offended you or your party, and the other one is not yours and it's not you, it's someone else. Now what do you do? Here Islam presents a beautiful solution. Islam says you come out and you go 50-50. You stand in the middle, you look at both sides. Now the issue is such, and this is generally the way community issues are. The issue is such that you can't draw a fine line. You know, some people, especially in community matters, especially in community politics, especially between community groups, you know, they say things like, this is haqq and batil. This is a battle of haqq and batil. This is Karbala. We are followers of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein never gave in to Yazid. You know what the ulama say? They say, don't use these terms for your community politics. It's never or hardly ever is it 100% and 0%. Totally black, totally white. Don't fool ourselves. Haqq and Batil, Imam Hussein and Yazid, this is when you use this when there is some amazing, out of the ordinary, systematic oppression on a people. We shouldn't be using these terms for community politics. We shouldn't be using these terms for example, family issues. Haqq and Batil, of course, is true. But very rarely is it so clear, black and white, that one party is completely in the wrong and one party is completely in the right. So now there's an issue. I can feel, maybe some people don't like this topic. I have to answer to my Lord. Barabar Sheikh, we have to answer to our Lord. There's an issue. Come out of your shell, stand 50-50, nisf-nisf, half-half. The issue is not able to be solved. You want to find a way to bring these two parties together. Okay? It's too confusing. There's proofs there, there's proofs there. There's evidence there, there's evidence there. There's issues there, there's issues there. Now what do you do? You know what Islam says? Islam says, take from one side. To solve the issue, take from one side. Which side do you take from? Opposite person. So if it's 50-50, you can't make up your mind, you take, so you blame the opposite? So you take from your side. So 50-50, you say, you know what? Let me be 49% or my side be 49%, let that side be 51%. You say, okay, bhai, you're correct. No problem. Let's get on with life. Let's patch up. Let's make up. This is what Islam says about insaf. That these issues of community and groupings and these issues, they're not worth spoiling our akhirat and our community, and there's so much disunity. It's not worth it. So what Islam says is you do insaf. You try your best, but then you say, actually, here we are not patching up, no problem. You are correct, we understand. We say sorry to you. From my side, I'm taking and I'm giving it to your side. Never mind. I know with my son, I can patch up, I can handle him. With myself, I can patch up, I can handle myself. With my group, I can patch up, I can handle myself. But what is better in the long run is that I remain united. And I remove the labels and I bring people together. This is what is important. Hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Man kana fi qalbihi min khirdalin min asabiyya. Whoever, whosoever has even a very small particle, like a mustard seed of bias, asabiyya, Allah will resurrect him on the day of judgment with the uneducated, ignorant Arabs of Jahiliyyah. Because they were like this. They would fight on the smallest thing. Do you know that when the Holy Prophet came to this world, there were tribes fighting, and they had been fighting for so long that if you ask them, why are you fighting? They'll say, actually, we've forgotten. We can't actually remember the original issue that we had. It's been a few generations. We're still fighting. Sad, isn't it? Very sad. In another hadith, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Please give me your full attention on this. Asabiya is when a person considers bad people from his group better than good people from another group. It is not asabiya when someone loves his own people. Here we're not talking about love. Love is fine. But love also necessitates that sometimes you have to make a stand against the person you love. Asabiya is not when a person loves his own people. However, it is asabiya when such a person helps his own people do zulm to others. The root cause. What is the root cause behind all this? Let me come back to point number one that we had made in the beginning. The root cause to all of this, we can summarize as love of the world and lack of fear of God. These two things. Please bear this in mind. Love of the world because you want to be right. That feeling of being right. That feeling that I had the last word. That feeling that, see, I told him. Love of the world, it's part of it. Secondly, lack of fear of God. That who cares what happens to the community? As long as I feel good, I'm right, I can sleep well at night. This is having a major impact upon community. We have to think about these things. Let's ask Allah for His help. Let's ask Imam Zamana to forgive us. If we have done any of this, if we are doing any of it, if we are active in these things, if at the slightest drop of a needle we're on our WhatsApp sending messages to God knows who, at all hours of the day, spreading. Here's a forward. You know one thing which I hate on WhatsApp? You know one thing which I hate and I tell people, please never send me this message? Forward. Sent as received. No liability on me. What are you talking about? You are aiding in the spread of this thing. There is absolute liability on you. Do not spread it. Keep it to yourself. Delete it. Don't even watch it yourself. When anyone sends me anything like that, I tell them, please, this is the first and last warning. Don't send it to me again, otherwise you're blocked. I don't like any of that. You should not be putting up with it either. Anyone sends you a rumor, anyone sends you an issue, anyone sends you this, Maulana said, I'm not interested, sorry, I've got my own problems. I've got my own grave waiting for me. What did Amir al-Mu'mineen say? Why should I be bothered? I have my grave under which I'll be there for a long time. I don't have time for this rubbish. Community unity, one of the fundamental things which is lacking in this community is unity. Let us work on this inshallah. Do not feel despondent. Do not feel that the problems are too much that we can't handle them. We can. And inshallah we will. With the help of Yusuf Zahra, Imam Zamana, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahil lati hallat bifina'ik. O Aba Abdullah, tonight we remember a very, very special personality indeed, someone whom you loved intensely, but someone who loved you intensely. He was brave, he was loyal, he was always at your service. He was like your servant. He called you Mawla, although he was your brother. He bore your standard. He looked after your children. He got the water when anyone asked. He was there at all times. He was there looking over you, looking after you. He was the hope of Zainab. He was the hope of Umm Kulthum. He was the protection of the parda of Ahlul Bayt. They had no worries whilst he was alive. But once he was killed, they began to worry. What will happen now? This was Abbas, Abul Fazl al-Abbas. Janabi Abbas, it is narrated even from his childhood. Amirul Mu'mineen would come when he was still a baby, and he would kiss the arms of Hazrat Abbas. Bibi Ummul Baneen would ask, why this kind of behavior with this young child? Amir al-Mu'mineen would say that one day these arms will be sacrificed for my beloved Hussein. We fast forward to the day of Ashura. Imam puts his tents in Karbala. The head of the tents is none other than the son of the Lion of Allah, Abbas. The protector of everybody is none other than Abbas. The one to give sukoon and peace to the heart of Sakina is none other than Abbas. Abbas, on the day of Ashura, has seen many shahadat. Many shuhada have gone, they have not returned. Janabi Abbas comes to his beloved brother Imam Hussein. He says, Mawla, I ask you for permission to go forth. Imam Hussein is not happy. He says, Abbas, you are the alamdar of my army. Abbas must have pointed to the bodies of Qasim and to the bodies of Akbar and to the bodies of Aun and Muhammad and to Habib. And he may have said, Mawla, what army? There is no army left. It is just us now. Janabi Abbas convinces Imam Hussein. He says, let me go at least just to fill the water skins. These cries of Al-Atash of your children are making me feel uneasy. Reluctantly, Aba Abdullah grants him permission. He says, Abbas, you are not to fight. You are merely to go. Maybe they will let you reach. If they see that you are not fighting, they will let you reach the river. Fill the skin and come back. Janabi Abbas leaves the tents. He starts to recite the Rajz, the war poems. He says that I am here at the service of my Mawla Hussein. You wish to dislodge me, you will never do so. I will never lift my hands from my master and from my religion. He makes it to the river. He puts down the water skin. He fills the water skin. Maybe at that moment, he looked towards the tents. What would he have seen? He would have seen a 5-year-old girl standing at the door of the tent, telling the children of Hussein that, look, I had told you my uncle will go and he will get the water. Janabi Abbas mounts the horse again. He is now, his objective is to ride back and to reach the tents so that Sakina and the other children may drink from the water. All of a sudden, Umar al-Sa'd realizes what's happening. He says, whatever happens, bring down either the water skin or the water carrier. One way or the other, Abul Fadl al-Abbas does not reach the tents. They are cowards. They dare not come close. They start to hurl stones and arrows. Someone comes close and hits the right arm of Janabi Abbas. He manages to transfer the water to the left. They come from the left side. They do an attack upon his left side. He puts the water skin in his mouth. Then what do? They rain the arrows upon Janabi Abbas. They say a number of arrows hit, but the most painful arrows were two. One hits the water skin, the water flows out. The second hits the eye of Hazrat Abbas. He is now stumbling upon the horse. Listen to this one thing, Azadaran of Imam Hussein. Every shaheed, that when he came down from the horse, you can be sure of one thing. Every shaheed that came down from the horse had at least their arms to support them, but not Janabi Abbas. This is a man, he has no arms. When he falls to the floor, he falls directly upon his face. The arrow is in the eye. He cries out, Mawla ya Aba Abdullah adrikni. Oh my master, come to me. Imam Hussein runs towards Abbas. They say in Farsi, in poetry, that Abbas, if you could could only have seen your master at that time, but you could not. Your eyes were full of blood. Abbas, you would love to hug Hussein in your life, but today you have no arms. Abbas, when has it been that Hussein comes and you do not stand in his respect? But today you cannot. You have no more life left in your body. Imam comes to the head of Janabi Abbas. They bid farewell to one another. Then what the historian says, he says that until that point, when we looked at Hussein ibn Ali, we would see him as a young man. But after he stood up from the body of his brother Abbas, his back was bent. He looked like an old man. And we heard him cry, Al-an inkasarat dhahri. Now my back is broken. Allah la'natullahi al-qawmi al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina al-zalamu ayyamun qalbi yanqalibun ila arwahi al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat rahimallahu man qara al-fatiha.